podcast is brought to you by the 99 Network, New Michigan's premier spot for all your local podcast needs.
Kill my
mind. Warning. This podcast has language of a mature nature. Spencer and Eddie don't know what they're talking about, and in no way should be taken seriously. They are idiots. In fact, this podcast should not be listened or viewed by anyone. But regardless, welcome to the Basement Bar. Beers and Babble. Cheers.
How come you guys didn't sit? No, we got to sit.
Yeah, because we end up recording videotaped. No, we're not on video.
Sound like you didn't tell me that. We're not that cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know how many people ask me that shit nowadays?
Oh, really?
Are you bringing videos? It's like for everything.
Yeah.
And I did my telephone interview with Mary Lee Cortez that was just on today.
Yeah.
Like a few weeks ago. She's a good old friend of mine. She's a national recording chick from, she used to be from Michigan. She's like, text me, lipstick or no, or am I on video? I'm like, son of a bitch. Yeah. I said, no, I'm just calling you, girl. So she's like, okay.
Nice. I know if we were on video, everybody'd shut it off, because welcome back to the Basement Bar, Beers and Babble. We have an amazing show for you tonight. I am so excited. It's the original, the one, the only, Scott Baker. Yeah. From the Michigan Music History Podcast, the MMHP and the 989. We're welcome. Welcome, Scott. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're rocking awesome, on and having awesome. Fun, man. Oh, there
Thanks
he
for
is.
Having me.
Roger wandered back in. Perfect time. It's the start of the show.
How you doing?
Yeah.
It wasn't halfway. It was like right in the beginning.
Yeah, right in the beginning this time. Heck yeah. Yeah. So, right good, on. Good. How, cool. How's your week been going? How are things going?
My week's been pretty steady. Busy at work, but, band practice tomorrow and an easy Friday, and I'm home free for 2 days, and then I go back. But other than that, yep. Everything's going great. How about you?
I'm doing good. I've had a really busy week. Half the family's in D.C. and for school right now.
Okay.
That leaves the boys at home, Dylan and myself, with our dog, you know, Winnie. I guess one lady at home. But we're taking care of business for him at school. And here I am thinking I had a week off, and not the case.
Yeah.
End up recording in the studio a couple times this week with some talented friends. And I got the call to do this today. But it all worked out. I mean, everything works out. So no complaints when the business arrives.
Because, heck yeah.
Because there's weeks where I go without. It doesn't matter what time of year. So I'll take it when I can, even if it's the week where I thought I'd be chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're very happy to have you here.
Yeah. This is very exciting. Eddie, how's your week been?
Holy fuck. So my nightmare scenario happened today at work. I thought I was going to get fired. So
Jesus.
Things have been messing up with the directory pathways with me doing the OneDrive migration deal. And one of the guys was like, hey, some of my files are missing. And I was like, oh, okay, they're not missing. They're just, you know, it's a pathway thing. So I go over and I check and I fix it back and I bring his stuff back. And I was like, all right, you're good. And he's like, no, there's like a big folder of like 10 gigs that's not there. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so I'm looking in everywhere. I was like, well, it could be, you know, we have this backup software. And so I looked in there. It's not running. It's apparently never ran on his computer. I was like, oh, fuck. Where are his files? Where the fuck did they go? What is happening? I started to freak out a little bit. I did more research, and I remembered we do 3 backups on everything, thankfully. So I grabbed one of those, got his files back, and I was like, holy shit. But I was panicking there for a bit. Then it made me think, well, fuck, if his isn't running, who else's isn't running? So then I put out an email to the entire company and a little screenshot. I'm like, hey, like, if you don't have this icon in your lower right corner, let me know. Immediately. Ding, 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 ding. No. The whole fucking company comes back. I don't have that icon. I don't have that icon. I was like, oh, my God. So, yeah, so then I'm checking the server, and it's just lighting up red. Fail, 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 fail. I was like, ah. So that's what I get to deal with tomorrow. I fucking walked outside for a smoke, and I was just like, ah. I'm just going to let the place burn for a second. We'll figure it out. You know?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fire keep burning. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I went back in and fixed some of the schedulers and got things going, so we'll see tomorrow morning and make sure that it's actually working. But it was, it was quite the panic today.
Yeah.
Dang, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way to start the day, eh?
Right?
Yeah. Like yeah. A whole week so happened in one day.
Yeah.
It's a month worth of
it. It was fun. It was good stuff. Roger, how's your week been going?
Well, not too bad, but hey, remember when you had to fix our Alexa?
Yeah. Is it broken again?
No. No, but after you fix it, I thought, well, you know, I'll ask it a few questions. I asked it, so what do women want? The fucking thing hasn't shut up in 7 days.
Jesus.
So that's how my week's been.
Awesome.
I even unplugged it and still talking.
It's still talking.
Taking notes at least?
It's like an Energizer battery just keeps going. Just
it's going.
skipping. Like hitting the top. You're like, come on. Yeah. Come on. Oh, man. Well, the weather is warming up outside.
Yeah, a little bit.
And that's exciting because I know you like to play a lot outside. I love to play outside. Are you excited for gig season coming up?
You know, that's a funny thing with me.
It's a loaded question. No.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, I love gig season because it's gig season. I can count on it every year. Yep. It's like if I were to bank my year, I would bank it in the summer because that's just how it rolls. Unfortunately, I could play a little bit through the winter, but playing outside isn't as controlled PA wise,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
as it is inside.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah.
And as I've been doing this for a long time now, there's a certain amount of control that I really like to have. If I run my own sound, it's usually pretty good. But when I don't run my own sound, or if I'm up against a bad wind day or bad positioning or sunshine, or you never know, man.
Yeah.
Or can you see your pedals in front of you? Because I've ended up learning how to make shades for certain ones, excuse me, put some shade on one so you can see where you're at on right. the floorboard because the sun's so bright. I mean, outside
you
is
start putting them at different heights. It's like foot braille.
And then you add old man with the needs glasses now. So I never needed glasses. So you're talking about a whole spiel of stuff there, you know. And so outside always comes with its benefits and it's a bittersweet thing. I enjoy it because the people are a lot happier.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're always there. It's a lot more people. But
yeah,
when it comes to hearing that sound that you used to hear and come back off the walls, a natural vibe of a club or something.
Yeah, and it's all gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. And you found it sounds like echoey, almost like hollow, you know?
It's weird. It's never horrible by any means, but outside's always got its challenges, whereas inside you can almost count on dial that thing right in, boop, and you're ready to roll. You know? Yeah.
And then instead of mid set, you're tweaking shit, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh no, that didn't sound right. Yeah. But it could have been perfect out there, but a gust of wind could have fucked you all up and
I don't know. I never played really any outdoor gigs that were wide open. Any ones that we did, we were on a stage with a covering, or we did
like a beer tent. Yeah,
yeah, anything like that. Yeah, or
Eddie only does big shows.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that? he plays those national acts where they got side fills and shit. And I get it. You're in a different league than the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, I've only played a few shows, but they were bigger. I'm sorry.
Jesus. Wow.
I love it.
I don't want your head to get too big.
This is awesome, kidding. Eddie.
That's what I mean. I've only done a few shows. It was fucking Munger, Tater Fest.
I saw those pictures.
The pig gig back in 2006 when we opened for Foghat.
Yeah.
And then the roller rink. So there. I play indoors. Yeah. But outdoors. I was never out, you know.
Kick
so,
ass,
yeah.
Man. Good for you.
It was wild.
That's the way to do it. You know, you put that in your contract when you were young.
Yeah,
you're like, this is only going to fly when I get to the shows. You want me? It's Alto Reed style. Is me and Seeger or no? You know, this is how this stuff
works.
It's me
it's in
and
my
Seeger
rider.
Or no.
That's right.
God, I wish I would.
Alto passed away, and all of a sudden, Eddie's out there. This is all I know. Yeah. This is exactly the timeline. So. Yeah,
okay. He pictured it. He wrote it out. That, that's awesome, man. Oh man, yeah. But no, gig season's coming up, and we're booking a lot. We just sat down and kind of got after it, and I really haven't done shit. But all the other guys are like, "Hey, got this, got this, got this," and I'm like, "Fuck!" I'm trying to keep up putting it in my calendar while they're calling other people. It's crazy.
Good for you guys.
Super, super excited about the summertime. But
you have like three shows back to back to back.
Yeah. Basically, it's like the same week. It's like a Thursday. No, I think it's a Wednesday, a Thursday, and a Saturday. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun, but I hate Hawk
Kid. What was your worst outside? What was your worst outdoor gig?
Worst outdoor show? Well, there was that. It wasn't the worst. I guess it was the worst of vibe because I've been blessed. They let me kick off that waterfall park thing in Bay City.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the first year. They haven't done it in 17 years or whatever. Jeez. And I kicked it off every year, minus the first year. Yeah. I was just on the bill that year. Then after that, I started kicking it off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we had one year where it was 106.
Holy cow.
And I got a text from the guy downtown saying, you want to do it or you don't want to do it? And I said, well, all the guys are already coming. We already know what we're up against. There's always people showing up. It doesn't matter. Right. So I better do it or it's going to be a bad thing because it's not like it's a rainy day.
Yeah. You know, you'll have Donna and Tiffany out there. They like bacon.
So you get there and we played to six people hovering under that little tree that's out there.
Oh, yeah, that tiny little one.
Yeah. And the waterfall, I don't think, was on that day.
Well, probably it was all evaporated. Shit.
Oh, right. Dude, that's had to be.
As soon as it's coming out, just steam.
Yeah. And there's a whole other story of bad gigs with that because it's funny when they do flip it on. Mm-hmm. It's like so many bands did it every year, and they go, do you want it on or do you want it off? I'm like, is this a waterfall gig? Shouldn't you have it on?
Yeah.
Well, I've got musician buddies who are like, no, we want it off. That thing's noisy as hell.
Yeah.
And it's pain. Well, one year, the winds were so breezy.
Oh,
the speakers were... PA's moving, and the rain and the sprinkler system's just getting everybody soaked.
Like, yeah. Oh, no.
And so that was kind of fun to see people scrambling, you know. They were right in the middle
and
of the tune.
Just
and people
just jamming.
Yeah, almost, this is just enjoyable.
Yeah.
But, you know, that real hot year was a mess.
Yeah.
But you Jeez. Know, I try, you know, going far back in the memory bank here, I don't, you know, you don't have too many horrible gigs.
No, because every time you're playing, you're doing exactly what you love.
Yeah.
So it's always a step up. So
yeah.
The worst gig is always a good gig. It's just like, yeah, that's the worst of them all.
I know Roger. I think Roger had a bad gig.
You remember Munger last year. It was so hot, and they got that fan out there and put it on John, and he looked like a slow-motion Fabio commercial, you know, hair blowing and shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he loved it.
Those photos. I remember seeing them. Yeah.
Well, he was I didn't realize my hair was doing that thing. I just needed the fan. I just needed the fan. It was amazing.
Well, I know you're talking about performing out in the heat. Raj had a story about, what was it, St. Stan's Festival back in the day as a special character.
Oh, that's when I used to go and dressed as Spuds McKenzie back in those days. Oh,
in the full costume.
And it was
like
98 degrees out there, and it was about 140 inside that costume.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and people would say, hey, you want a drink? And they'd hand me those big beers, and I would just pour it into the mouth of the costume, and I'd get maybe three or four drinks, and the rest of it just doused me to keep me cool.
It's not a bad idea.
But, they borrowed that costume from another distributorship, and they sent it back, and they're like, why does this smell like rotten beer?
Spuds McKenzie, rotten beer.
Did you go swimming in
it's
it?
Hand
like,
in
what?
Hand.
Yeah.
That's what it should smell like.
It was fun, you know. It was all the women pulling on my tail and stuff, and
they were getting some tail.
They got some. Yeah. I didn't get any, but they did.
Well, you know,
they're all on the Alexa now.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I love it when technology talks shit to Roger. Yeah. Hey, did you notice, Roger? What do you got there?
I don't know here.
Would you have to label them so I know what my right and left ear is?
Yeah, I made them real big letters, too, so you can see.
That's actually nut cuffs, man. There's one for your left nut.
Oh, that one did. Ooh, nice and warm.
Yeah, we felt bad for Rod.
Is it my right or your right?
You're right.
It's your right.
Well, you're
depends,
right.
But
you're right.
Depends on which way you're facing, I guess.
Yeah, we got him new headphones so he can actually hear what's happening now.
Cool.
Still can't see anything, but he can hear, so.
Yeah, they work.
Hey! Right. That's a win for us.
That's right. Right.
No, I can see because I just got my new glasses.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Fancy. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad.
I can actually see people now.
Awesome.
Yeah, now you can see how ugly we are in HD.
That's why I was in the other room for a while.
Right? Yeah. I know Scott asked me before.
I see dead people now.
I see dead people.
He asked me before he comes over. He's like, you want me to bring anything? I was like, a set of headphones. Ours are garbage.
That's first slowly. 90-10, when I'm asked, they're like, would you bring a guitar? And so I was like, headphones? Well, that's real
new.
Easy. Simple. Well, I like that one.
That's because they wanted to play. And they didn't
want
to hear
well, and finding out I'm with Alto Reed tonight, it's a whole other ballgame. So,
No, Barry Reed. I play Barry. No.
Yeah. Barry White. Barry White. Yeah. It's got that voice.
Todd, what was
fix your computer, baby.
Right? Let me lay down your electrodes.
what was your worst gig, Eddie?
It was that one. It was the best and the worst one. I said it.
The fog hat one?
Yeah, yeah. In a past one. Because we, you know, we're out there and there's like 2,500 people and the fucking monitors weren't on. Ugh. And so all we heard was the echo coming back and we were all off beat and we were out of sync. And we just powered it through it.
Who was Soundman that night?
I have no idea. I don't know. I drink a lot. I don't remember. Yeah.
I wonder if they purposely made that. Like they were like, these guys are good, and we don't want them to upstage Foghat or something. You know? So,
no. Oh, the Foghat gig. Yeah. Now it makes sense. So it was probably Hyperman.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. We had them. They weren't bad. We had them do our choir, Delta College choirs stuff back in the day, and they did a good job for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's different when you're doing stuff for Jesus than it is for. Yeah. You got to remember that when
you got the Lord on your side.
Yeah. We say choir there.
Release these demons.
We say choir. Yeah. Hold on here. Hang on.
Let me pull out the big guns here.
Yeah. We're gonna make sure this shit sounds good.
Yeah. No, it was that one. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. All the other
what was your worst gig?
Yeah. What about you?
My worst gig. Oh, geez. I would say. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't bad, but it was. Hamilton Street Pub, it was so weird for me because at that stage, I loved it. The vibe was great. Like we had a lot of people come out to see us, and we were super excited. And we were on the last band on the bill. It was like a 7-band bill. Mm-hmm. And I loved getting there early, and I loved seeing all the bands. I loved supporting other bands. But holy shit, I wanted to play as soon as I got there. So I'm like, come on. We get up there, and I couldn't hear anything. Mm. Couldn't hear John. So right before we started, he goes, hey, whenever you're ready. And I was like, yeah, come here. Was trying to tell him something and he wouldn't come. I was like, John, you know, and he walked over and I'm like, hey, it's gonna be all eyes today. Like, you need to keep me on track. I can't hear shit. So anyway, John's a very expressive man.
He's an animated person.
Yeah, he's an animated person. He looks back at me and he gives me the eyebrows. And normally I know exactly what John's trying to tell me with just like the blink of an eye.
Yeah, it's drop your pants.
Yeah, no. And I was like, what the fuck? Am I doing good? Slow up, you know, or slow down, or speed up, blah, blah, blah. We got done with the gig, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't know what the hell you were talking to me. He goes, oh, I was telling you, you were doing great. And I was like, you're pissed off look, and you're doing great look looks exactly the same, fucker. So the whole time I'm stressing out, we get done. They were like, you guys were awesome. I was like, no, we weren't. And then John was like, no, really, we were fine tonight. And I was like, okay, all right. But yeah, just the...
It's awkwardness of the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole time, like, everyone's having a fun, and I'm just back there like, what the fuck is going on, man?
Yeah, it's horrible. Gig, it gives you all that time wanting to play, then you feel bad, and then you feel good because it worked out, but you're like, I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that I loved doing most was the only chunk of that night where I didn't have fun.
How many people were left after 7 bands or whatever?
7 bands? They trickled out at the end of it, yeah.
It's hard to do at the end of the night.
It is. And we started at 11, and there were so many people around like 7, 8 o'clock. Uh-huh. So I was pumped up. I'm like, yeah, like I want to go now. I want to excite these people. And at 11 o'clock, it was just kind of the people that came to see us. But it was still a good time, and people had fun. Oh, yeah.
Anytime you guys play is a good time.
I think it was the first time my dad's brother came to see us. So he's on the side, and they have this little opening on Hammer Street, or HSP. Where you can kind of just see right back to the drum kit. Mm-hmm. So he's right there, and I look over to hit a crash, and I see him videotaping. So I'm like, hey, how you doing?
I got a lot of great photos of drummers over the years sitting there on that side.
Right on
just
there,
before you go out the back door there by the bathrooms. Yeah.
Yep, that's cool. It's like a perfect shot, you know? Yep. And it's right by the ride cymbal if you're a right-handed drummer and everything. But, yeah, it was cool to see the people that I saw there. It was just that chunk of the night. I was so nervous. I'm like, I'm fucking it all up. I suck, you know? But, yeah, that was the worst of them, but it was still good. It was still good.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's how that rolls. So.
Yep.
I get it.
You say you're right-handed. Are there left-handed drummers?
Oh, hell yeah.
My boy's left-handed drummer.
Yeah. Yep.
So
everything's
reversed?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow, Ian Pacey, I don't think I've ever seen that. Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, yeah.
Yeah, I never know.
Oh, really? Yeah. Dang. Neither did I. Yeah.
Ringo was left-handed but played right-handed.
Mm. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
he didn't do the crossover. Hi-hat, yeah.
Crazy.
Hi-hat with the left hand.
Never really paid attention, I guess.
Speaking of Phil Collins, I didn't mean to interrupt anybody, but I opened up a chapter in my book that I haven't listened to in a long, long time. Trick of the Tail by Genesis.
Yeah.
Whew. Oh, my goodness. And so I wasn't showing it to Dennis. Dennis obviously knows what it is. He owns it on vinyl and everything. He was talking to me. He was just like, until you said this, I never realized that this is like a drum masterpiece. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, the music is great, but if you really dig into it, every song, the guy doesn't fucking stop. He just doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
That's the first Phil Leader record by Genesis post Peter Gabriel. So
really, okay,
yeah, yeah, it's the first one where he sang. Mm-hmm. So he played going as a songwriter into that record, and also knowing that someone would have to play his parts live, which was confounding him at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they went through. I remember reading their auditions. It was relentless. I mean, some of the greatest greats were there, and they just didn't pass it for singing. You know.
Yeah.
And then he just went up and showed somebody how to do it.
Yeah.
And Tony goes, "Why aren't you just fucking doing it?
Yeah, just sit back there and drum myself."
And Peter's or Phil's like, "Yeah, that sounded good, yeah. You know." And then that conflict of, "But I'm the drummer."
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And so when he recorded that record, he I think he meant to say, "This is what you get to do for this tour." And then he goes and calls up Bill Bruford.
Yep.
And Bill
My
comes
favorite
out,
drummer. Yep.
And Bill gets to, you know, Bill does Bill, mm-hmm. and Phil's not. Phil's is Phil.
Yeah. Bill does Phil. Bill does Bill.
And it lasted of all of a hug and a handshake. And by the seventh gig, it was like, Bill Bruford's story is like, I found an airplane ticket on my snare drum when I got up there.
Oh,
that was
shit.
My last night. And they already had Chester Thompson lined up coming from Zappo in Weather Report to come out, fly out. And that was the guy they originally really wanted. But Bill was a buddy, being a Prague guy, you know. But it's a great thing you mentioned there because you play with John.
Weather Report. Yeah. That was it. Last show, Birdland.
Oh, okay.
They do, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was, sorry.
Yeah. No, I said ADHD moment.
I said Tower of Power on the last show. I was fucking wrong. Weather Report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Birdland.
Yep. Sorry, anyway, Jekyll. ADD. So we're talking. Oh, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying that you had John in your band.
Yep.
I grew up with Eric. So
yeah.
Gary, I was raised on Genesis. Genesis, yes, King Crimson, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin. But Genesis was, that and the Police were probably the most played records, particularly Genesis. And it was, you know, Eric and I were born in 73. Phil did, that was, Trick came out in 76.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, the Gospel was two records later on Seconds Out, which was Wind and Wuthering and Trick tour, where they got to do some of the Back Peter stuff. Eric and I would just sit in front with our jaws just dropped, just looking at that cover, the gatefold.
Yeah.
We just sit there listening, you know, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then Duke came out, and that was like our record, you know?
Yeah.
But we heard, and then there were three. That was fun, but it was like, Seconds Out was just like, you get to hear the last of Steve Hackett. I remember Eric, you know, like, this is it for Steve Hackett, you know, because he's not on, and then there were three. But Follow You, Follow Me's on, and then there were three. That was
exactly.
Their first big hit.
Yep.
But when Duke came out, that was a game changer. It was like something that was part of us, you know, like,
yeah.
And it was 1980, and, you know, here we are getting ready to get out of elementary school in a couple of years. But Gary Asel had us on, you know, that was our diet. It was, you learn this shit or go home. You're not going to hang out with us. You know? So it's just how it was. So that lucky for me, I went from mom and dad, who dad had Jim Reeves and Patsy Cline and Duane Eddy, which was really cool. Dad had really unique tastes, but he didn't dive into it. But my mom was Beatles, Beach Boys. Pop songs.
Heck yeah.
Steely Dan, we were singing on the radio. You know, she didn't have that, but that was our, you know, Joe Jackson, come on, and we'd sing Joe Jackson, stepping out. You know, I remember driving everywhere, Mom and I just jamming out to the radio.
Hell yeah.
But then you get to Gary's house, and it was, you go through the record piles.
Yeah.
Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they got, I could name a million of them.
Yeah.
It was how to go. You know, it was just an epic time to grow up. It was the late 70s, and I got all that late 60s and 70s stuff from him. And that's why I do what I do. And obviously, Eric and who had John, and this is part of our DNA now.
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk about. We never really went into a full thing. So, you know, sometimes we talk about celebrities we've met and, you know, occurrences and stuff like that. And this is the first, like, big ass celebrity we've ever had on the show is Scott Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And seriously, you've got, you know, Scott Baker music, and I kind of want you to go through, like, you, what did you used to do? How'd you get into music?
Yeah,
where
your
stages. You know, all that. Yeah, just kind of give us a little insight into who is Scott Baker and where you are today.
Cool story. Well, that was the beginning, was Gary Asel's record collection.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, that, and then hearing the radios back then, you know, it was when Queen was big. Before, it was just two songs over and over. You actually heard other Queen songs on the radio. But for me, it was like my grandma, who lived four, well, ended up being four or five houses down from Eric, growing up. So Eric used to live on Smith Street here in Uskoville.
Yep.
And during Live Aid, the day of Live Aid,
yeah,
which we were planning on planting our asses in front of the TV to do, Gary and Judy wanted to move. So we were taking wagons down to the house, but it had the TV set up for Live Aid. So we'd walk from Smith Street down to Hart, where they lived at 1000 Hart, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved every minute of helping them move and bringing the records. And I remember Eric and I bringing a bunch of stuff. But we watched a lot of Live Aid that day, too.
Heck
but
yeah.
Once they lived there on Hart, one, two, three, four, five, six. My grandma was six houses down on the same side. My grandma and grandpa Willette, my mom's mom and dad. She grew up there. Next door to them, one house closer to Eric, was the Balkers, which is yep. Eric's other grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So we're my grandma, his grandma, couple houses across the street, jump Dunbar, and you're at Aisles.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all within a vicinity. So that was growing up on that realm of music. But my grandma in her house, if you ever walk by in the summer, you hear organ come out of that house.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
She played at the Essexville Baptist Church all the time. She played by ear.
You old Hammond? Or
Hammond. Two levels. I'd go walk home from school and you hear brrr. Drums jamming out.
Yeah.
And she would never teach me because she's like, I just play by ear.
Yeah.
And then eventually at some point it clicked. My great grandma, her mom, she used to tour the silent movies playing piano for them. She played Ann Arbor. She played State Theater. She played Ann Arbor Theater, whatever it was, Tarver City. She played Sioux. She played the Islander up by my cabin, which when I played there, they're like, generations. Same with the State
That's
Theater.
So cool.
She played the State Theater, and I played there, and they're like, oh my gosh, your great grandma played here, you know?
That's wild.
Yeah, and some Sylvia Oliver was her name.
Yeah.
And so having that talented great grandma that used to tour the state as a silent movie piano player, that was kind of exciting. But I was playing tenor sax, you know, in fifth grade.
Oh, nice. I never knew that you played sax too.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Sax was my first instrument. And we were the last year of Hughes and all the Essex elementary schools to have a fifth grade band.
Oh,
the
wow.
very last year of fifth grade band was our year, the class of 91, whatever the year of fifth grade was, 84. And so I played tenor sax there. Then they had a year off, and we were sixth graders, and they got a little break for the system. But then when sixth grade happened the year after, then they started teaching.
Yeah, the band, yep.
Band class again. Mm-hmm. So I was playing tenor sax. 2 years later, Dad took me. I saved up my lawnmower money and bought an acoustic guitar. You know, and I always thought, you know, I know how to read music real well. I'm really good with my ear. I know what I'm doing, but I always wanted the guitar to kind of be my thing. Like, I don't really want to sit and be Mr. Scale guy like I have to on the sax.
Mm-hmm.
I'll figure this out. And I just plinked on it for many years. Bought a square Strat and a little amp and invested over the years. Got okay, but by the late 90s, I was in Delta College in the 90s, and I was a music journalist. I started cooking for restaurants.
Oh, yeah, you used to write?
For the Times and Saginaw News.
That's so cool.
Review, yeah. Now I write for Route Bay City. That's my outlet now.
Okay.
You know, and I'm still known as a writer somewhat, but the podcast really took over for that half for me.
That's what I was going to get to, man, is that you know, journalist, cook, musician, and now you're running this amazing Michigan Music History podcast with Fred Reif and
Gary Johnson.
Dr. J.
Yeah, and Mike Beattie. All four of us, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mike, yeah.
We broadcast out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on Washington Avenue now.
Oh, cool. Oh,
yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we moved over there from our original digs at Alan Garcia's podcast, Helm, over in Harding. But, yeah, I told myself in the 90s, man, if I'm not playing by the time I'm 30, don't count on it, you know, kind of be done. As 23, 24 hit, I was in a band, so.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Or playing with other bands, saying sit in, and I was slopping. You know, you just slop, learn. Then you're thrown live, and your heart's beating.
Yeah.
And I did it all the time. I did it to the point where I did a really slop gig with Larry McCrae bringing me out in 99, and I just saw a video of it the other day, and I was right. It was a slop video. But he called me out to play with him at, it was Shooters over on Grash.
Oh, yeah, I remember Shooters.
Yep, so we were there, and a sold-out show, and I came out to jam with him. It was just sloppy as
That'd be wild. That dude's a legend, man. That'd be so cool.
Well, he's been a friend of mine since 92, we figured, and now we write together, play together. We're together at least or at least talking together once a week. You know,
that's so cool. That's
we do a lot together now. I've been with him hard since when he lost his manager a couple years ago. We were close before that, really close. I was doing a lot of stuff for him, but now that we live around the block from each other, and it's like he knows he can trust me, and that's how that rolls. So
awesome. You know. That's so cool, man.
And then you just keep on rolling, and then I
rolling.
Muddy Gumbo was the first band.
Heck yeah, Muddy Gumbo. Yeah.
That's
I like
awesome.
It. And then you're rolling right into more stardom here. You're nominated for an award from the Review magazine. Mm-hmm. You guys have actually won awards before, right, for the podcast.
The podcast is won every year. It's been out. So
that's phenomenal.
Yeah, we've won one every year, and we're up again this year. So we rolled 3 years in February, and we're up for our third award.
So that's our goal. We got to beat them next year for that.
Yeah. There's two streaming series things now, and Lightning Licks won last year, which is my buddy Jay and Dion's podcast where they discuss albums, you know.
Nice.
And that's a pretty cool show.
Yeah.
Podcast too.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out. He was telling me about a couple other local shows around here.
Going Deep Show and Lightning Licks. Going Deep's the oldest podcast of Bay City in Essex.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's Alan Garcia's. He's been around since 2003.
Wow.
Which is crazy because that's before podcast, and like 2005, I think, is when it really, I think that was when it was coined podcast, you know, the term.
Yeah.
So to be even before that is wild.
Yep.
That's and very cool.
He's always taken our pride in that, and he gave me my start with the podcast along with Eddie. Eddie was actually our voice for our show, so that was really
good. You're listening to the MMHP in the 989.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I know Scott was so cool. Yeah. He was like, hey, man, you want to do like intros and outros for me? I was like, fuck yeah. I'd be honored. That'd be so cool. So
yeah, we've been lucky. And then that just came about, I mean, to skip the whole music thing, but the podcast thing, Gary Johnson in Essexville, who runs the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Which I just realized that Gary Johnson was my seventh grade science
there you
teacher.
Go.
I was like,
my seventh grade science
that's
teacher.
That's that, Gary? What the fuck?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. He was mine. He was my basketball coach in junior
high. That's so cool.
High. And then when I became a journalist, just as I was going out playing with some bands before I put Muddy Gumbo together, he called me one day and said, can you come teach a class one time at Kramer?
Yeah,
I just want you to go over what you do as a writer and a photographer. Because my minor was photography, so I've always been...
Oh, he wanted you to come teach?
Yeah,
one day. Fuck yeah, dude, that's so cool.
Yeah, so it wasn't really a teaching day, but I was the teacher of the day. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I say, I got to teach a day for Dr. J.
Did a master class.
Then, late years later, here we are, you know, joined at the hip, having a big show. So, but he, you know, he put together the Michigan Rock Legends Hall of Fame. He had to go up against the Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, who had to fight him to change the name to add the Legends part.
Yeah.
And he legitimately did it out of his own pocket, house, and wallet. And
that's
he'd go
wild.
To places and provide, you know, certificates to these bands and, you know, whoever, MC5, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, going all the way back, but rock-based, you know.
Yeah.
And then, so with him in town, and Fred Reif moved to town. This happened in 2020, just...
Yeah.
It was like, or 2019, because it was December, just before COVID.
Yeah.
And I go, Fred put a post on the Bay City page, and he says, I'll never do that again. You know what he did?
What's that?
Does anybody have any polka information? You want to talk about a flurry of motherfucking polka?
Right?
This town is like Frankenmuth for polka.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, my cousin plays for a polka band that runs around. Yeah.
Nice.
Polka Riot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who Fred is, Fred Reif is a Michigan author, and he's authored two books on the history of Michigan music, jazz and blues and world music mainly. He used to own a record store in the 70s in Bay City, right on Washington Avenue. Then he moved to Saginaw, ran it there for years, and then he became the main guy at School Kids Records in Ann Arbor, doing their A&R and all their stuff.
Dang.
For all the 90s. He used to give me promos. He came to my house one day, and I went through my old promo stuff. I have them all collected in the garage. Mm-hmm. So look at this. Signed by Fred Reif. He goes, well, shit. That was you. So I was at Delta College, and you're sending me this stuff back then, man.
Yeah.
So we worked together back then.
Oh,
but Freddie's such a massive national music author. He also was the manager for... oh boy, he's gonna kill me for not remembering. he was like the manager for a bunch of different blues artists, but he did for longest time. Not sugar. That's the name of a song. It'll hit me at one point. But anyway,
yeah,
he toured for many years around the world with him, over and over and over from the 90s on, and he played washboard with him.
Wow,
oh, nice,
so sweet.
Yeah, that's Freddie's talent.
That's
and
so
now
cool.
Everybody that comes to town, they're like, Fred, you want to play washboard? It's the first thing they ask. They don't know. They could give a shit about me or Dr. J. They're like, Fred, you want to play washboard?
That's
and then,
sweet.
And I go, and I'll giggle, and they'll go, he's about the best there is. Yeah. Not like, don't laugh, dude. You know, like,
yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. You know, yeah. It's like no, Fred's legit on the washboard.
That's so awesome. Cool. That's wild that we have all this, like, just talent and, like, legend status music right in our backyard. It's it's so
it's
amazing.
Crazy. So it's so cool. I said, Fred, what the hell are you posting this polka thing? I call him up, you know. He's like, well, I just moved to Essexville, Scott. I said, where are you at? He goes, I'm down Knight Road. I said, which way?
What the hell, yeah.
He goes, I'm out in, he's out in the, Old Orchard, you know.
Oh, okay.
I says, well, I'm down Knight Road myself. Yeah. I says, I'm across from Ridge Road. I'm on Ridge Road. Well, shit. I says, you know Gary Johnson's town? Well, I know him. I says, you want to do a podcast? What's that?
Yeah.
Internet radio.
Yeah. I says, it's where this and this. I said, I don't know what we're going to do, but we sure as shit can interview each other, mm-hmm. talk all day. I don't know if it'll make last 3 or 4 episodes, but we can talk music.
Yeah.
I didn't originally intend to be what it ended up being.
Yeah.
You know? And then I called Gary, and Gary's like, I'm in New Jersey, where he spends 6 months of the year, you know? Mm-hmm. What's going on? I says, Fred Reif moved to town. He's that author. Yeah, I said, you know, he lives in the, we're like in a triangle from each other. You guys want to do a podcast? I'm down for a podcast. All right. Got a hold of Freddie. I'll trust you on this one, Scott. And then I think you and I were jamming in the basement or something. You were over fixing a computer.
That's what it was. Yeah, fixing your computer. Yeah, then, your setup. The studio in Scott's basement is crazy.
Oh yeah,
it's the equipment. He's got a whole fucking rack of like equipment and stuff. Everything that one day we're gonna be able to have in our studio for the 989. Like he already has in his basement, and it's beautiful. It's glorious.
And Eddie's like, you know, I do voiceovers a lot of time, and I'm like. And I'm hearing Tim talk, so I'm like, you need to be the announcer for the show. Just, yeah. And he goes, just tell me what I got to do.
Yeah.
So I wrote out a whole skit of intro, outro, and I thought of it in however many ways. It took me like a week, like, oh, if this don't work like that, I want to try that. And then I sent it out to Eddie to do his part. He sends it back, and he goes, well, I'll do this, I'll do that. And then we end up putting it together, and we got to Alan Garcia's thing, and the first episode was all about Dr. J and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Legends Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And second episode was all about Freddie. Yeah. I have to get that in there. He'll give me shit, actually. And then
you're going to get a cease and desist.
Yes. And the third one was not on me. We did a story. We did a show on Gary Asel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Hell yeah. We had Eric and Carrie a couple weeks ago. Fuck, that show went 3 hours.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Perfect. And Gary was on there, and he just gave us throwback stories of all the gigs he went to. Mm-hmm. And then as we got done with that, we're like, we should be doing story stuff like that if we can bring in people. And Fred goes, well, I know all these people. Gary goes, well, I've already done this. And I'm like, I'm the journalist. I know everybody.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And musician.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, who do I want?
You know, no
that's
kidding.
Still alive.
Yeah.
So that became the thing. I mean, I think our fourth episode was when Alice Cooper put out the Detroit album 3 years ago. We did a feature on it, got a promo, got access, but couldn't get him to do an interview. But we just talked about the record, how great it was, all the people on it.
Heck yeah.
And then from there it became, and the first time they did one with me was for my new record last year on Purpose. So
yeah, yeah.
I said, all right, I'll let you guys do one. Gary goes, we need to talk about your record. And I go, because I wouldn't do a show on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no, we just need to do one. He says, you need to promote your album and... it's about time.
Yeah.
So after we're in our fourth season, I kicked off the fourth season with one on me for the first time. Just talking about the record, though. Yeah. So that was cool.
That's amazing, man. That's sweet.
So much so that who'd you interview? Was it yesterday, today?
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, no, we've been thinking of side stuff through our podcast. I've always, right off the bat, I started it saying, Fred and Gary, every weekend, we got to keep people coming to us. Mm-hmm. Facebook's our hub.
Yeah.
Libsyn's our site that goes to Apple and everywhere else, blah blah blah. I need you guys with content every weekend. You guys know every song, every backstory. Freddie does Saturdays and he does it with something obscure. Gary does Sundays and he does something popular.
Nice.
And they pick at each other about it. Well, Gary doesn't really pick on Fred, but Fred's always like, I don't know why we always do popular stuff all the time. But that's just old Fred. So it's all cool. But they do that every Friday and Saturday. So I'm like, man, I should really throw something in. Well, a year and a half into it, we added Mike Beattie to the show as a fourth person. Mike's our we call our archivist, who seems to always lose the archive tapes. But you ever go to his house, and he's got the biggest archive I've ever seen of everything.
That's
and
wild.
He's, if you guys see Mike out and about, he's the guy that's shaking with a video camera taping everybody.
Oh, okay.
That's Mike Beattie. He's always taping and walking around with his walker.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's Mike. So he's our fourth hub. So Mike's been videotaping our shows. Lord knows if we'll ever see any of them. But when Mike came on, Mike's like, I tape stuff all the time. I says, dude, we could put that in as current music episodes every 2 weeks. And Mike likes to drink, so Mike, you know, forgets about his deadlines.
Here, here. Yep.
Cheers, guys. So,
cheers, yeah.
And this is just the way Mike rolls. So we get a joyous video from Mike every so often on a Friday. Nice. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? There's so many people I'll never get on the show because they all are far away or can't make the drive.
Right.
Because we've been doing it all, like, you got to come to Bay City.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we've done it. They're like, yeah. they're like, we'll come from Ann Arbor. We'll come from Detroit. Yeah. We'll do this. And it's like,
okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay. But then there's some that are like, can we get some gas money and shit? But we had one season. Season two was sponsored by the Electric Kitch.
Nice.
So
hell
that,
yeah.
That paid gas money for
yeah.
a lot of them.
Nice.
That was enticing. It allowed me to pay my $20 a month Libsyn bill.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. So that was cool. That lasted a year. But I'm like, you know what? What if I did an interview? I said, hey, we all usually have a meeting like twice a year where we're all getting a bar in town and ask for and be like, what are we going to do this year? Who do we want to see? And I'm jotting it all down. I'm like, what do you guys feel if I do one-on-ones like I do for my interviews for the newspapers? They're like, why haven't you been doing it?
All right.
I'm like, okay. So I started last year with the first one was on Patrick Boyer, who came out. He was about a generation or two before me musically, came out of the 90s out of Mount Pleasant area. He's a genius. He was with Jack White's bass player.
Holy shit.
You know, those guys. All,
yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
was their thing, you know. They, whoa. You know, so
dang.
Patrick made a comeback record, first acoustic record, and him and I have been in great touch over the years.
Heck yeah.
So when he put it out, I said, I got the, let me do the little story. So I called him up and we did it. And that was the first one. That just, we re-released this. It's called the Mid-Mitten 15 from Harvest Canteen.
Okay.
Harvest Canteen's my studio.
Yeah.
So we're not doing it from the Rock Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. It's straight from my studio where I mix and edit all the shows. So I just call him from my basement, record the shows. And anyway, we reintroduced that series this very week that we're recording this. I don't know when this is running, but Monday we re-released it because I found that I had more storage on my Libsyn.
Yep.
Yeah.
More than I thought I did. So I was doing them off my Dropbox for the first one. So I'm like, no, that way no one's ever getting a Dropbox tag anymore, which is cool. But that Libsyn thing, so hit a button and goes.
Yeah,
yeah, it's nice.
So Patrick came back out Monday. My second one was a month or two later. I did it on Billy Shane Young. He's a local Americana dude. I don't want to say country. He loves his country, but he's more like a...
Like a folk
type? He's more like a Stephen Stills.
Okay,
he's got
okay.
the rock in him.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, shit. Awesome. Okay, yeah.
But he's also got the talented countryside, like Chris Stapleton side to him, you know?
Ooh.
And you're like, okay. And nobody hears him. And now him and I go back to when I was at Muddy Gumbo.
Yeah.
We were on every festival together. And he was in his trio. And we get up and do Can't You See every night together.
Hell
he
yeah.
had to remind me. You used to jam with me. And I'm like, oh, shit, that was you? He's like, we used to jam all the time, you know? So... We got to reconnect, and that episode came out yesterday, part two, for his album called Walls, which Andy Reid produced in town here.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
Well, this album is a masterpiece. And I don't know. I can't promote it enough. It's there. If you got to be able to like a little bit of country, and I know I come from a lot of rock guys around me, but it's got a countryside to it, but it works, and it works so well, and it's like 20-some songs deep.
Dang.
But it's a mofo.
Okay. We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's serious. I actually had a friend listen to it today, and she texted me. She goes, I can't believe how good this album is. I says, that's why I did something on it. I couldn't let it go by.
Yeah.
And then we got all those gigs in the last few years, like all summer long. The band, post-COVID, we've been back out playing a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Or me solo, which is, if I can't get it with the band, I'll try to get it myself.
And that's the thing I've been seeing, too, is like you just go, and it's awesome to see.
If I could take them, I will. As long as the money's there. And
right.
I come out of COVID, I up my prices on what I do. And
well, yeah,
over
you
20
should.
Years, man.
Yeah, you're good enough. You should.
And it's like I'm playing with some big league cats all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I up my prices, and then I started doing a lot more solo shows. But that busyness kept me away and forgetting about doing my Mid-Mitten 15. So I hadn't done one. Well, lo and behold, I'm playing my Record Store Day vinyl of this Michigan-based record from Mary Lee Cordes. She used to live in Michigan. She's a national singer-songwriter that lives in New York, Her husband's Roscoe Amble, I Love Rock and Roll guy that wrote that, played on it with Joan Jett.
Yeah.
And he's a legendary producer. And anyway, Mary Lee came into my life because I used to work with Dick Wagner for 3 years.
Yeah.
When Dick Wagner had a studio at WMG Records in Saginaw, I was his PR guy, and I'd also get to spend time in the studio with Steve Hunter and Mark Farner, whoever came through,
Jeez.
You know, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So one day Dick and the crew was like, Mary Lee's playing opening for Joe Jackson in Detroit, Why don't you cover that? Like, she used to write with me, Scott. I'm like, what? And so I connected with her, did a story on a new record, and her band's Mary Lee's Corvette out in the New York City area, to Jersey, somewhere out there. She's in Brooklyn now. Anyway, she had this solo album come out a few years ago. It was produced by the guy that did the last bunch of Lou Reed records. He passed during COVID from COVID. Mm. But this album is all these stories she found at the age of 10 in this metal welded together piano bench that her dad got at a pawn shop in Michigan.
Oh, no shit.
She was born and raised in Michigan.
Holy shit.
And he pried it open for her 10th birthday, and all these songs were in there from the 20s and stuff.
No way. Ah, that's sweet.
Music, some had poetry, some had words and music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she did this record with this guy, Hal Wilner, I believe is the name. He did Lou Reed. Anyway, she put it out. I got the Record Store Day Edition because I knew it was going to be big, but I had already had the CD from her from the pre-release in 2017 or 18. And then I got to thinking, duh, I know Mary Lee. I got her number. This is a Michigan of Michigan tales, singing songs from an old Michigan lady.
Yeah.
Beulah Rowley.
Bueller.
Yeah. And so I contacted her. She goes, after Christmas, let's hook up. I haven't talked to you in forever. So we did. And I released that in February, but that got re-released today. On the Libsyn server. But Eddie brought this whole thing up about.
Yeah. It was a long way to get to this, which blew my fucking mind. One of my heroes in saxophone history.
So I told the guys, I got a big artist coming up I'm going to do on MMH on the Mitten 15. They're like, who? I says, well, I got the go-ahead to do a story on Alice Coltrane's new album on Impulse Records. She died a few years ago.
Right.
So I contacted, well, first I was with Jordan at the Electric Kitch. Jordan's a huge Alice fan, so am I. We're into avant-garde jazz.
Yeah.
Avant-garde jazz is probably the most spiritual music, and Jordan and I totally connect that. So it's something we discuss. So here's this Carnegie Hall Live Alice Coltrane coming out. My feed's just getting whomped with it because I'm into the weird jazz music that. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, she's from Detroit. John wasn't. She was.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that story? Well, it ain't going to be her.
Right.
So I didn't even tell the guys. I just went after it. This is before I told them. So I contacted the person that says, contact this at the top of her Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
That guy sent me to another guy from Impulse Records, says, who do you want to talk to? I love your, apparently the show was good enough. Them. I just said, I'm doing the Michigan Music History Podcast, done it for 3 years, won 2 awards, we're up for a third. I'm a longtime musician, longtime journalist. It was right. What do you want to do? Who do you want to do? How long do you want to do it for?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Who do I get? You got called Ravi Coltrane, I thought Ravi would be badass.
Yeah.
But I didn't even ask because his name wasn't kind of in the. He was an executive producer, but I was looking at the liner notes. I says,
yeah.
Well, the liner notes are. I said, I don't have a copy yet, but I saw some of the liner notes you guys are posting online, and they do touch along her time in Detroit. Can I talk to somebody that's a Detroit tie, just specifically for my show? We will focus on the record, but I got to talk about Detroit because I got to bring that Michigan connection in. So I'm typing that to him on my phone, go about my way, and he's like, well, we're going to have the liner note guy, or excuse me, lady. And I'm like, that's awesome, because she did touch on it. But she said she really doesn't know enough about her time in Detroit. But she suggested Michelle Coltrane. How about that? Alice's daughter.
Right?
I said, okay.
Yeah, that's unreal.
So a week later.
Fucking unreal.
And Michelle's an R&B singer.
Yeah.
Ravi's a jazz sax player. She's an R&B singer. I get a message from Impulse Records. Is this the number she should contact you on? I'm like, for real? Are we going down today? And I'm like, oh, this is a pre-op.
Because
sometimes they want to test you for your knowledge and why they want to do it. Because this is weird. I mean, Alice isn't everybody's taste of music,
Yeah.
She's out there playing a freaking harp.
Yeah.
And shakers. And Pharoah Sanders is blowing sax out of your ass.
Yeah.
It's nuts. You know, it's crazy. It's fun shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, that's the number she can reach me. I knew immediately why. Why would she call me right away, you know? And so a day went by. 2 days went by. All of a sudden, I'm washing dishes on a Wednesday night. This had to be a month ago. And phone comes up, Coltrane, Michelle. I'm like, turn the TV down.
Yeah.
Kids are like, what? I'm like, shut up.
That's awesome.
And I go, hello? Hey, Scott. Well, I'm so glad I didn't get a voicemail. I'm like, well, I am too. Yeah. How are you? Yeah. And she's picking my brain. And she was cool and laid back. And I'm like, I wasn't nervous. I was nervous that I might not get it, but I wasn't nervous to talk to her. Like, she made it so cool and easy.
Yeah.
And I don't get really nerves anymore. I've done this for a long time. There's nobody that really. Yeah. You'd have to be Jerry Garcia or Dwayne Allman coming out of the dead or Elvis freak me out right? A little bit, you know? So I'm like, how's this going to go? So she's all like, well, what do you guys exactly do? Yeah, well, I kind of want to talk to you about that. Well, you know what? I got to call Auntie and I got to call this. I'm like, well, you do that. I says, we can don't have to do this tomorrow. Well, I was hoping you'd say that. I said, no, we'll do it in a week. Perfect. And she says, you text me next week. Just keep my number. I said, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to be mad about that. Yeah.
Text her on Tuesday night. She's out in L.A. and or somewhere out there in the hills. And we hit it up. It'll be 3 weeks ago tonight because it was a week. Well, a month ago was the first week. Then a week went through, and I edited some of our beginning and ending of the interview. And it was interesting. She had a lot of Detroit story, but we got to talk about so much. And I tied in Ravi. I tied in her. I tied in a little bit of John. I didn't want to go there. And then she made a point at the end of saying, hey, you know, everybody, I want to book a show with you. She says, this is my life, Scott. Hey, I'm interested in booking at your club. And they're like, I knew your dad. I knew your mom. How does your dad do this? Your dad put out this. And that's my stepdad. My stepdad was John. Yep. Okay. She says, my whole life has been padded by preamps because I just want a gig. Can I just get the gig?
Yeah.
And she goes, but I'm cool with it. She goes, I learned a long time ago you just stay cool with it. Mm-hmm. And then your mom's Alice. I saw her too. Yep, that's my mom.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I can only imagine how this is. She goes, it's got to be the same for Sean Lennon, she said. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
It's the same for Richie, for Richard Pryor Jr. When I did the movie with him, the music for the movie.
We
were talking about all that, and he's like, yeah, man, he's a singer. He's an actor, you know, he wants to do his own thing, and he's been doing really well with his singing. He's a great singer, and it's all the time like, oh man, Rich, holy cow, you know. And he's like, well, you know, but I sing, you know, I'm not a comedian, I sing and I do this and stuff. He is funny as fuck though.
That's cool.
It is the same thing when you're kind of talking about that. I was like, yeah, that reminds me. Yeah,
no, truly.
Yeah.
She hit home with that little Sean Lennon comment and the thing, and I'm like, yep. And she says, you know, though, I always make extra 5-10 minutes for everything I do because of that. She says, I used to be, can we just get me booked at this show? Or
yeah.
I just want to do this hotel or whatever she wants to get done. She goes, it's just a time consuming. But she says, I learned a long time ago. This album that came out for Alice is about Satchiwanda, the yogi. It's an Indian guru that she followed after John died.
Mm-hmm.
And she did an album, Journey to Satchiwanda. And then this Carnegie Hall show literally came out within the week as that release.
Okay.
And so she had two bass players, two drummers, two sax players, and a percussion, and another percussion type player that did some other stuff. And it was like, oh, it was Pharoah Sanders. Oh my gosh. It was all brand name. Like, you know, everybody was like, I'm like, oh my gosh. It was this total post John Coltrane by 3 years, four years.
Yeah.
And, I said, and one of my questions was, were you at that show? She goes, I was 11. I might have been. She goes, all I know is mom, pack up. We go somewhere. Be like, okay, you know. And, by the way, tonight I'm playing Carnegie Hall. Okay, yeah. Ma. Okay. And I sometimes go with her.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow night I'm going to go play in Brooklyn at this place. Or I'm going to be on the big stage in D.C. You know.
Jeez.
So it was like, okay. So she just has those kind of memories. They're fleeting.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited, though, because this show comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which... when our show comes out Monday, it'll have already happened. So you'll have to go to, you know, 989.network and see there on the Michigan Music History Podcast. Check it. Their whole RSS feed's on there. Check them out on Facebook and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck. I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic. We're going to keep going here. Normally at like half an hour, we're fucking beer of the week. And
I got a big, I got a big mouth there.
No, you're good.
It's because I run a podcast.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah,
we get the.
I know how to keep that fucker busy.
No, hell yeah. So beer of the week.
Beer.
I'd have a beer.
Beer of the week.
She would, but I can already see like him going, damn, I wish Dad was left-handed. You know, because he could do anything. You know?
Yeah,
he's got his drum set downstairs. Steve McRae was over yesterday.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's like, he goes, he gave Dylan his first drum lesson back when Dylan was seven. And he goes, what the fuck's he got? I said, the left-handed. Remember you had to sit? Oh, yeah, man. He says, I ain't going to fuck with his drum set then. I go, wow. And I said, Dylan, come down and see Steve. And he didn't. Dylan's upstairs because we're just hanging. And
yeah.
Larry was over recording some parts for an album, but Steve came over. So
yeah,
it's like Steve goes, oh, man, I want to check out what he's up to. I says, oh, I appreciate everything you did, man. We've been blessed to have some monster players come through. You know,
fuck yeah. That's
hell awesome. Yeah.
Beer of the week.
Beer of the week, all right. Man. All right. This week we have Orange Marshmallow Gushier from Decadent Ales in
Mama Redneck.
New York. Yep. It's an 11% ABV.
Oh, that smells nice.
No IBU listed, ooh. But let's see.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, while you're testing that, I got a question for you. What do you call a group of transgender women?
What's that?
X-Men.
All right. I like it.
I like that. X-Men.
X-Men.
That's
I could actually drink this. I'm not an IPA guy.
Yeah.
This is totally
that
different.
Is.
Yeah, that's this is good. Almost like, what's that thick orange?
Oh, the orange creamsicle type?
Yes.
Thing?
Yeah. It's got creamsicle.
It's like, it's like an orange creamsicle.
When I saw that, so I had a beer out. It's 450 who does it. And
it's a little tart.
Like it.
It's a little tart.
But 450 does like an orange creamsicle beer, and I had it. I was camping. You know, me, John, all the boys, and I grabbed this out. This shit's 14% ABV.
Okay. Yeah.
So I sit down. I'm like, this is either going to taste like shit or it's going to be the most amazing thing. You remember those orange push pops?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so, my gosh. That's, yeah.
It was basically frozen because I had it in ice for 3 days. I drank it, and I was like, oh.
It's your summer drink.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. So, but
that's
$15
what it
was, a can. Yeah, so I was like, yep, the first one is this. I can't find it again, though.
Yeah, you remember those push-ups. Yeah, that's back when I was a kid. So you know, we used to eat ice cream out of toilet paper tube.
Yeah,
we
that's
never
what
complained.
It was. That's what it was.
Yeah. Never complained about
it's
it.
It's a toilet paper with know. A stick going through it. Yeah.
I'm gonna complain a little bit. It's not terrible. I'd drink one, but I wouldn't come back for more. I'll give it a 2.5, just average.
Really?
It's not awful. 2. Out of 5.
5.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'd give it about a 0.2.
Oh wow. I give it that's up like to it. The 4.25 for me.
Is it? You like it that much?
I'm not an IPA guy. I would totally drink this.
There you go.
So give me a 4 on that one.
4 nice. On that. All right. Yeah. Brought to us by Ideal Party Store.
Yep.
On Johnson and Salzburg. Johnson. Yep. We love you at Ideal. Thank you very much. Find us on the Untappd app. I am Fuzzy Lumpkus.
Well, Eddie wanted to introduce a new section to the show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm super excited, but he has some beer trivia for us.
Beer trivia.
So no IPA questions, because you know Scott's going to fail that one.
All right. Here's trivia for you. How many ounces are in a half barrel?
How many ounces are in a half barrel? Fuck, there's 150 12 ounces, so math. There's 100, yeah, there's 150 12-ounce beers in a half barrel, so... No. Go.
What is
so
it?
Go ahead.
1984.
Yeah. What's 15 times 12?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
Fuck.
You're the math 144, wizard. 144.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that's about right.
Is it?
There's like 155, 150 something.
15 what? 15?
50, yeah, do 15 times 12. So 150 actually, times 12, sorry. 150
if you,
times
if you
12.
Go way back to the early festivals, you can get 242 10-ounce drafts out of a half.
1,800. So I was fucking close. Yeah, so there's like, 160 beers in a half barrel then.
You know what's, you guys need a follow-up. Maybe you are doing it because I'm not familiar, but the aftertaste and burp. It's flavorful.
Yeah. Is it?
Like I want to burp more. I want, and I like this. It's not.
What's the burp
fizzy
meter?
Lifting drinks.
The burp. Perfometer.
Yeah, the vomometer. Exactly.
I love it.
This is freaking yum.
It's good.
Like,
man.
It sits in my mouth like an old popsicle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
a
it really
push
does.
Up.
Like a push-up. No. I like that. So, once again, what was it? How many ounces in a half barrel keg? How many?
1984.
Wow.
That was the year I graduated. That's
George
I
George Orwell.
Yeah,
I was about to say.
Never forget that.
George
forget
Orwell that. Must have drank beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he drank beer because he goes 2 + 2 = 5. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
1984. What a weird book.
That's cool, though. There's your beer trivia.
It was a great year.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that was our last year at Hughes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We had the junior high after that, me and Eric. Oh,
yeah. Junior high.
You were like, we've graduated.
I guess, yeah. Dates me.
Is that Garber?
I'm at that age.
Last
where,
year at Garber?
No, I didn't go.
No?
I went to Arthur. Douglas MacArthur.
Douglas MacArthur,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, that dates me. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I put little baggies of snacks all around the house on the floor in case I fall. So that I can just lay there and eat. It's like, it takes me a while to get up.
Is this a Cheech and Chong thing?
No.
You got that look going right now. I'm like, okay, man. No.
I'm just like, you know, when it, yeah, I'm looking at Facebook and stuff and see people my age doing skydiving and rock climbing and all that. And I'm just sitting over here all proud of myself that I can, like,
tie your shoes.
I can get, like, one leg through my underwear without falling.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know?
He's like, I did it.
Yeah.
Gold star.
Didn't lose my belt.
Gold star.
So you had beer trivia.
Yeah, that was fucking it. He did.
Oh, he did.
So
it.
There's your beer trivia for the night. Yeah.
Okay, well, I fucking failed.
I like it. I want to make it a segment.
Hey, Eddie,
I think we do one, you know.
One more. This trivia is like right behind you. What are the ingredients in a bottle of Budweiser?
Oh, it is.
Pick it up, turn
around. Hang on. It's water.
No,
I know, but right before he fucking says it, it's water. Yeast, barley, rice. Is that it? What else?
No. It's beechwood chip aging, natural carbonation, choicest domestic hops, imported hops, rice, and best
hops.
Barley malt.
Barley, barley hops.
No water in that son of a bitch.
Well,
those are Bud Heavies for a reason, my
it's
boy.
Like when you milk the almonds. You got to, you know, you fucking squeeze the barley in.
Still
the
haven't,
juices out.
Still haven't found a tit on an almond.
Hey, I've been looking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've been looking.
I even gotten the unsalted ones just to fucking get the barrenness. I can't
What's
find
the meaning into milk my nuts?
Yeah.
Oh.
There you are. There you go. There it is.
I love it.
Perfect. That's left and the right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's going to be a perfect transition. So we always shout out Winter Haven Motel.
Yeah, whmband.com.
Yeah, so that is no longer accent.
Fuck them.
Not a bit, man.
All right, I see how it is.
It's a band formerly known
Stop
as
it.
Winter
yeah,
Haven.
The
yeah.
artist. The artist formerly. Yeah.
So, formerly known as, but.
So what are you now, a symbol?
Well, no.
Like
hold
Prince.
On. Stop it. Stop it there.
That's awesome.
This awesome announcement turned into a joke really quick.
Yep.
we hung the hats on Winter Haven.
Ampersand.
Ampersand.
Sorry. Go ahead. Stop interrupting you.
I wish we would have put that on the board.
Right?
No, we are proudly hanging our hats on Winter Haven Motel. We are retiring that band. It was a great time. I loved every minute of it. And we're on our new chapter. And speaking of new chapter, chapter 4 is coming out. So please, if you see us on a band bill, come and check us out. We'd love to see you there. We got a lot of new music. We're excited to show you.
Chapter four. What happened to the first three?
Well, there's not a lot of meaning behind it. And I'm gonna explain this really quick. So
it was the only thing left available.
Stop it.
Sorry,
well, you see the list of band names. You can tell there. Yeah.
Oh, that's what that was. Yeah. I thought those were songs.
No.
What the fuck? Monkey Paw. Twisted Wishes. What the fuck?
Almond
Teats.
Almond Teats.
Yeah.
Milk I like how almond? One just says Sega.
yeah, because we're like Sega, and it turned out to be a band. So, of course,
I love it. Sorry,
Regardless, chapter four is like there's four of us, and it's a new chapter, so we kind of just felt good about it. There's not a lot of meaning behind it, but our old band name, Winter Haven Motel, we'd have to give that 15-minute spiel of what it meant. And
is that because 2 months later, Euclid Motel came out after you guys?
Well, no.
Right. There was two motel bands in this
area.
Everybody
was
confounding.
Well, it's like in my
age. But you guys were first.
Yeah, we were.
When everybody was Simply or Perfect. Like we had the perfect ending, and then you had Simply Nobody and yeah. Simple Plan yeah. and all these. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just, but no, it's just like Hotel Motel,
Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Hotel Motel. No, we're proud to hang our hats and we're excited for this next chapter, and the chapter you're starting on is 4, okay. And there's 4 guys in the band. So, you know,
are you guys gonna do Winter Haven Motel music in this
yes.
band? That's the question I
yes.
want to lead
yep,
with.
Yep. We are formally known as Winter Haven Motel, and we will carry that music, and it will yep. still be rightfully known as Winter Haven Motel in the credits. We're not taking away from that band, that experience, the people that wrote it. They deserve that respect, so yeah. we'll still give them that respect, but we are going to continue playing that music live just with a new vibe and a lot of new songs. So we're super excited to see the people get out gigging again, and we have a lot of gigs booked. So we are super excited. Just we'll have the pages up soon. Actually, by the time this podcast drops, look us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
I was just already on reading details about this band. Is the drummer coming from behind the drum set and singing like Trick of the Tail, how this show started?
I wish.
No, they're a folk band now. He's playing steel guitar. It's all
yeah,
acoustic.
And washboard.
Yeah, we're
and
looking,
washboard.
We're looking for a prime washboard
yeah.
player. So if
you know
anyone's got...
He lives right around the block. He's an Old Orchard right yeah. around the block.
Well, shit. Yeah. Our singer could pick him up on the way through.
Yeah, really, yeah.
No, that's awesome. But no, we're super excited, man. So check
yeah.
us out.
Yeah, we'll have the old website redirect to the new one.
Yeah. So it'll be wonderful.
I know a guy.
Yeah. I'm sure you do. He's standing real close to me.
Last call for alcohol.
Oh.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol.
And I don't want to stay talking too long. But it's my turn first, so I'm going to talk about the Crown's last show.
Okay.
So Winter Haven Motel was performing at the Crown, and we were told that the Crown was closing soon. We're like, what the fuck? What do you mean, closing soon? So we're like, oh. And John goes, you know what? That means we're getting hammered. And I was like, that absolutely means we're getting hammered. So it was like eight bands on the bill, all 30 minutes. We headlined. So I went up to Troy, who signed us for Excellency, and I said, how long can we play? And he goes, as long as you want, just as long as we're done by 1 o'clock. We started at 11. So we went, okay, sure, why not? So all these bands go, and we get a beer per every band or 2 drinks per every band. Depends on if you were drinking beer or, like John does, a rum and Coke. You know, so we were slugging them down. By the time I get up there, I'm looking at John, and I couldn't find him. He's 2 feet in front of me. I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's a good night
fuck.
Right there.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I shouldn't do this. I know I got to keep a rhythm. Not like a swing rhythm when I'm trying to do a straight 4. You know, do. I'm sorry. No, but it ended up being awesome. I felt on top of the world. I felt like I could do anything. John even like switched guitars mid-solo. Like it was insane. I was like, what are we doing? And he was like, having fun. Like enjoy it, you know. And we had that crowd. And the crowd actually stayed that time. Good. Packed the place. It was so much fun. And after that, we hit a big note at the end. John kept his guitar droning, dropped it. And we all, us four, went to the front of the stage and did a huge old bow to the end of it. And it was just a really good feeling. And afterwards, we continued to get more drunk. And then we ended up asking somebody to drive us home, but they had to take the band trailer. I think it was Eric. I think Eric drove the band trailer.
We just paid it. You know, we paid a hobo $20.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, we're just like, all right.
Haven't seen the trailer since.
It got stuck in a ditch. It was like, all right, either us or the trailer. No, I'm kidding. But it fun times. Great old days. Yeah.
WHNN.
I do miss the Crown last show, but
I just did a podcast with Johnny Burke.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I fucking love Johnny. Yeah, I used to go on his show once in a while for A Clean Cigarette. He's a great time.
He is.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Sorry,
continue.
Me too.
We fucking we're
good.
ADD.
You're good. I'm done.
Oh, and you're done?
Yeah, next we got Limberlost.
Oh yeah. So I used to play with the Steve Armstrong and the 25-cent beer band. I'd jump in on saxophone on a few tunes on them. My cousin Zach Burnett was a drummer. And there was one time we played up at the Limberlost up in Houghton Lake. And they have a band house. It was super cool. It was kind of like, you know, simple cabin, whatever, but they put us up in the band house. We got to stay the night there and everything. It was real neat. And the show, if you've ever been to Limberlost, it's one of my favorite bars. It's real cool.
I've heard of it, but
it's
awesome.
Pretty. It's huge. The bar kind of goes around in a circle. They have a big stage. It's real nice.
It's a nice place.
And at that point, the band was sponsored by Fireball. And so we had like a case of fifths of Fireball that we would just tote around to all the shows and stuff. And so in between sets, we'd go out in the parking lot and fucking drink our Fireball and talk and everything and hang out. And well, we ended up drinking a little bit too much Fireball. So after the second set, we're out there, we're taking shots. And then I immediately just
cinnamon.
Oh, yeah.
The cinnamon rise.
And I was like, oh, I had to run to the bathroom. I clean up. I come back out. I was like, whoa, you know, we had to fucking go back on.
You didn't let your sex on fire at the end of the night?
No, yeah, no. Yeah.
Just to burn the barf off from it.
It was wild.
Reed smells like cinnamon.
Yeah. It was such a great fucking night.
So basically Taco Bell.
Yeah. Cinnamon.
Did you have your beard back then?
No. And I was a lot thinner, too.
I was going to say, that's a clean barf, then. That's a motherfucker with that.
Oh, I know.
You said clean up. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I've had a couple spits.
I just saw this thing on a Facebook washer today. Yeah, this dude is one of them hairy 70s dudes in an ad.
Like Ron Jeremy?
And it says I don't remember how that went. It was a funny ad on Facebook. Somebody passed it on the day. It says, yeah, I love being a man, but I tell you what, when I take a dump, it's like putting peanut butter out of a shag carpet.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh, that cracked me right up.
Oh, even if it ain't, don't touch that shit.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, speaking of Ricky and his bidet, he's calling us out on the fucking chat right now. You see that, talking about shit about Pretty Lake?
Yeah, I know.
But I know Roger.
Is it pretty?
Right? Roger's got a fucking last call story on the Limberlost. Go ahead, bud.
To keep with Limberlost. And a bunch of those guys, you know, would go up. we got one guy that has a couple cabins up on the lake there. So we go up on golf trips. And Limberlost, okay? They're not going to tell you where he lives compared to Limberlost. But we're at Limberlost after, you know, playing golf all day. Drinking and all that shit. We were pretty fucked up. We couldn't even walk straight. I mean, it was bad. And we're leaving, and the manager's bar's coming over here. He goes, none of you guys are driving. You're taking the bus. We're like, what? What the fuck? And so we're like, no, we're fine. Yeah, we're fine. And we're walking out. He goes, no, wait, we have a shuttle. We're going to take you guys home. Nobody's driving.
I love this so much.
So we're like, okay, whatever. So we wait, the bus comes over there. We all get on the bus. The guy's pulling out a lot. He goes, where do I go? And the guy that lives on it, he goes, turn right, and then turn right, and then turn right. His cottages were right on the other side of the fence from the Limberlost. We didn't fucking drive there. We walked there around the goddamn fence, and they wouldn't let us leave without taking a shuttle.
That's funny.
So we take a shuttle like 450 yards.
Right.
The guy's just laughing his ass off. He goes,
that's awesome.
What the fuck? And he said, hey, you go talk to your manager. He's the one that told us we couldn't go.
That's legendary, man. That's good.
Beautiful. Holy fuck. That's so much fun. But,
what a story.
It was crazy.
Oh, man.
Damn.
Well, Scott, we got Christmas for you. I like that.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Our Christmas shows, the lawyers told us we had to take offline. That's why our episodes start at 6.
Oh.
Yeah. So the first 5 are going to go behind the paywall because the lawyers were like, you can't have that public.
That's all because I had it.
I don't. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. This is what happens.
He didn't know how to edit it, right?
That's why he said there's shows that come out with unedited and stuff. And I'm like, am I getting videotaped in here?
No. Are there dancers? There's a lot of very funny jokes.
Not a speaker over there.
Oh, yeah. It's hidden in the dog. It's there's a camera in the dog.
Yeah, Spot's looking at you.
Yeah, so that's not Spot.
Spuds.
That's Spuds. It's Spuds. Spuds McKenzie. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's not a black guy. That's a camera.
That's not what you wore back in the day.
No, shit. I couldn't fit my dick in that thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey. Oh, talking of Christmas. Awesome. Speaking of dicks, Christmas.
This is a good one. No, you guys wanted a fun
speaking
story.
Of that. Scott.
Jesus. How many times are you going to erupt?
Oh, them? Yeah. Yeah.
There's 100 dicks on the wall. How many are you going to choke on?
None, because you're in my way.
You're that good?
Jesus. Yay, I'm not the only one. He got me with that, too.
You're that good.
Yup.
I love it.
Beautiful.
Sorry. Continue. No. Christmas.
That's funny. That was great.
You're in the way. That's a good answer.
You beat me to it, though. You know I had something further to follow that up with. He's like, I'm spitting this out as soon
yeah,
as
he says none. Yeah, as soon as he says none.
All right, you guys were asking for a last call. What's the name?
Yep, last call story.
It's a last call for alcohol. Yeah, fun drinking story, yeah.
We were gigging at BMO's. When BMO's was taken over by Rob and Lou, I was blessed as I went solo in 2005. I got a lot of gigs there. Sometimes I'd be the only guy a month, like for a month, like every weekend.
I love BMO's.
And then it would move on to other things, and then they started getting other bands in and mixing it up. But I always had a regular BMO's gig for a long time. But Christmas 2009, I don't remember what the gig was, but it was like probably the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, somewhere in there. And Robin Lou had this wonderful Christmas tree up at the side of the stage, and we were doing our set. And man, there was a lot of people in the bar that night. And it was one of them nights where people were not wearing their jackets outside, and they were, you know, just having a good old party. This is before the back part of BMO's got added on.
Yeah.
So there's people in and out, and we had the dance floor going. And it was there like, you wow, go. This is a rarity for me because I do a lot of original music with my regular music, so I don't always have the dance crowd. So this woman was up there just
spinning.
Yeah. And I'm like, she's going to be spinning too much. I could already tell. And no one was controlling her. And then we would do something, some Clapton tune or something, and she'd be like slow dancing with a dude or something. But she was just throwing her arms and doing her thing by the third set. All I know is I went into a solo, and I look, and she fell into the Christmas tree. The tree hit the ground.
Perfect.
She got up from the puddle of piss that she laid all over the place.
Oh, no.
That was all over BMO's dance floor.
Oh.
And shook the tree off. Her clothes were just drenched, and there was a puddle. They had to come mop the floor. And she peed and fell into it and took the tree down right with herself right into that piss. So, that's my last call for alcohol.
And the band played on.
And we kept on. We didn't miss a note. I was like, somebody to get a picture of this.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Don't know her name. Don't remember. Yeah. But I remember I'll never forget that night.
So. Yeah, just spinning too much, fell into a Christmas tree.
Just it all came down. And then you see her get up and it was wet and you're like, the spotlight, you know, you're like, and you're like, that puddle on the floor, and she's like,
oh, no. You know?
Yeah, she let her all go.
Merry Pissmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the title of the episode, Merry right? Pissmas. Merry Pissmas.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Well, that's fun. That's a good one. Jesus.
Yeah.
The things you remember when on stage. I love that, though. We didn't miss a fucking note.
No. Right?
We were just like, for real?
Damn.
Like, no way. I knew she was going to pass out at some point, but not in the puddle.
Yeah.
Oh, right. God.
Or with a Christmas tree in her arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bam.
I don't want that present. You can put that one back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
So if you guys see the Christmas tree on the side of the stage at BMO's, just remember
don't touch it.
It's got that yellow garnish on it, or the garland. I don't know, man.
Jeez. Man. Thank you so much, Scott, for being here. This has been absolutely fantastic. Cool. Everybody, check out Scott's new album, Purpose, out on Spotify. Visit Michigan Music History Podcast. You can find it on the 989.network, on Spotify, Apple, YouTube as well on there. You can find us at the 989.network, bbbbabble.com, and Facebook, Instagram, all that jazz. But thanks. Is there anything you want to plug coming up? Anything soon you got?
Just busy dates. We're going to, you know, summer's unloading. Unfortunately, Bay City's not going to have a ton of stuff this year going on, especially for local
talent.
Oh, because
of Bacigalupo there. Eh?
But I will be on the road most of the year. So,
nice.
I always go on the road a lot during the summer, but my whole year is basically I did a Sioux gig already, done a Royal Oak gig. I did a Grand Rapids one a few weeks ago.
Dang.
I'll be back in Alpena.
I've been everywhere,
two or three times.
Man.
Wonderful.
Sue's another one later this year. I got a TC gig. I haven't had a TC gig in years.
TC's fun.
I haven't played there since 2009.
Oh, yeah.
That was at Union Street. That was a lot of fun.
Woo. Yeah, El Torito always did bigger gigs than me. That's awesome. I love it. No, I it's going to be a year on the road, but I'll have a few here in town. We got a drift date, and I just got a Tavern 101 outside show they're going to do
Thursday. Ooh, that'll be fun.
They're just announcing that today, but they sent me the schedule to take a look at. But, you know, it is what it is. So we're going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to be busy. I spent this first part of the year writing, not just for myself, but I've been blessed to have a couple of national artists who want some songs. So I've been honing tunes.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I've been sending them to Brooklyn, and we're playing them here in town with my buddy, and I'm just making sure the song's right. And then Charlie Walmsley and I just got together a few weeks ago. He's wrote a lot of Larry's big songs.
Yeah.
And he's on one of my podcasts, and Charlie's like, let's get something going. I'm like, okay.
Hell yeah, man.
That's awesome.
The trust is coming to me now. It's like I can, like they're starting to all trust my writing. Purpose was a big change, though. I mean,
yeah.
That was a big
record. It was
record
neat.
For, like,
I listened to it. It's real cool. So,
you know, I can always songwrite, but it's nice. I think it also comes with age. The older you get, the more people are like, all right, he's just kind of going to never go away. So
Man, yeah, well, being nice. A journalist, you know Ernest Hemingway, right? Mm-hmm. As Ernest Hemingway said, always do sober what you said you'd do drunk.
Cheers.
Did you enjoy this episode? Then check out more at 99.network, Mid-Michigan's premier podcast network.
Hold up.
Do you love terrible B-movies? Fans of wrestling and Power Rangers? Step into Amityville Studios and join Rick and Eric for some side-splitting laughter and great banter on wide a range of conversations. Find it where all podcasts can be found. Wide a range of conversations with Rick and Eric.